Never stop buying toys. Hello, Tom.
Hello? Who is this? What's going on here?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I've regressed into Boomerville, where I can't set the clock on my VCR. It transfers over to my tablet. It's just flashing 12. Like, I don't understand.
What,
I
on, on the oven? You have to excuse me, Tom. I have a respiratory chest thing. So if I go into a coughing fit and I turn into Doc Holliday. So loyal listeners, please, if I fall out of the chair and you still hear me coughing, that means I'm still alive. So I'll get back up in a minute.
That's right. I'll run down for help.
Thanks.
I'll do my best. I'm not sure how far I'll get, but I'll try and help out.
You know, it's funny. You hear all of the like voodoo medicine, you know, when you have a cold. And especially down here in the South, I guess. And they're all like, here's what you need to do. Get rid of that cough. And it's like, everybody's got some like home remedy. And they always involve lemons for some. I have a cold. I don't have scurvy.
Eat as much vitamin C as possible. Eat all the oranges. The true problem is that you have a lack of citrus fruit in your diet.
Just
go and do that. Look, the true remedy to really get rid of what you've got, you need to go down 3 blocks, find the donkey tied to the tree in the backyard, and just bare knuckle. just go for it.
Right.
If you win, and you'll be healed.
It's always lemon, and then, the honey. Add the honey to your tea, right? Apple vinegar. With salt, like this, I've gotten like 4 or 5 like voodoo remedies.
Honey in the tea is just a big myth pushed by Big Honey,
right? And I'm like, well, I need his antibiotics, and I don't feel like going to the doctor, so I'll be fine.
I want that to be a plot that Batman has to foil by of Queen Bee, where she's just putting it out there. She's like, you need more honey to do X, Y, Z, and he's like, you know that's not true. Right. Science exists, Queen Bee. You're going down. She's like, sees no gender.
She's like, but it's hot, honey.
She's got all the flares, and he's like, don't you tempt me with your delicious honey.
Your womanly wiles, honey.
Queen Bee never got her just due, except in, I think she's in Young Justice, but I don't remember offhand. I haven't seen that in a while, and I need to go back and watch.
Yeah. Oh, it's fabulous. It's well-written, well-done. Everything about Young Justice is great.
And then, you know what else is well-written and well-done?
Two guys talking toys.
Two guys talking toys.
Clearly not well written. Is it even written at all? Apparently not, because we forget the title.
It's fine.
Actual reality television. Two doofuses, doofy, talking about toys.
That's the other podcast that we are currently feuding with, Two Doofuses Talking Toys. It's a weird rivalry it's tough. Only for now, only because their upload schedule is a little better than ours. Although I wouldn't say that. We've still got stuff coming up. So I want to say right off the bat, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I want to encourage you to like the channel, subscribe to the channel. We picked up a pretty decent number of them. Thank you for enjoying and talking toys with us. I always want to encourage people to say something in the comments. Let us know what you think about the topic. Thank you for watching the toy reviews. I'm glad that people have been watching those. I've been trying to toss up as many as possible. So right now I've got stuff up for the Maybe Masters of the Universe. Absolutely. You should totally do one. I'll send it to me.
I keep hoping to get ahead and start taking pictures to send to you, like toy photos, but I don't.
I need toy photography from you to put on the Instagram, because I don't know if people are tired of me posting my sad walkthroughs of Target and putting it to music.
What kind of music should you? Is it like the Benny Hill theme? Like, you're just running in and out of aisles. Like,
usually it's sad music, because you walk there, especially in Walmart, where they just... Yeah, you see these mythical pictures of these super well-stuffed... No, the Walmart near me looks like the Walmarts near you or the places I've seen online where they have the Marvel displays and there's like the Daily Bugle and they've got retro Marvel things. You know what mine has? Nothing.
Nothing. I know.
Nothing.
And there's a really good one down the road for me in Eden. You need to come down here because the Targets are stocked. The Walmart's pretty good.
I will give Big Daddy Target some credit. Whatever Big
Daddy Target,
whatever national initiative he enacted, he hit the giant restock button. And I've actually seen most of the Targets that I've been in have gotten some stuff in. So I kudos to you. I need to make a character a caricature of this character that we keep talking about.
We do. You need to do a custom figure like the fantastic Big Boa you did for me. But the Eden Walmart is getting toys before they drop into my pile of loot.
Ooh. Oh, hey.
Yeah, they're classifieds.
That is impressive. Have you seen, you mentioned New York Comic Con before. Have you seen any the Ghost Vipers in your Walmarts? Because if you have.
No. Because I would have
send you all the monies.
I still have your crystal ball here waiting for you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad you have one because not a single Walmart.
Really? He's cooling the shelves. The shelves are stocked with them. Nobody's buying them. I could go buy five of them right now at Eden Walmart.
They won't send any to New York, and I don't understand why there's an embargo on them, on most of the Joes, on most of the Transformers stuff. It really is just mind-boggling to me. I don't get it. But hopefully they will see what Big Daddy Target's been doing, and they will, I don't know what the collective avatar for Walmart would be, but he sucks at his job.
He'd be sad. He'd be a little dirty guy in a blue vest that... You know,
just pitiful. If anybody remembers the character that appeared in WWE for a little while named Baron Corbin, who had potential in NXT and then they called him up too soon. But there was one slice of time when he was absolutely perfect. And it was because he had lost everything. He lost his title and he lost all of his money. And they would just find him randomly sitting. Yeah. Oh, you have much more hair than Baron Corbin and probably better moveset.
I'm bald.
You still had more hair than he did. It was an interesting thing to see. But he had lost everything and he became what was known as Sad Baron Corbin. And people you'd find him randomly, like in a corner in the back, just sad, asking if you could help him open this can of food he found. I feel like that's the true avatar for Walmart. That would be right Walmart, now. Yeah. Maybe they'll get their mojo back and actually stock something, but that would, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, let me show you what I got this week.
What did you get?
Both figures, Walmart purchases.
Wow. And I just talked all that smack.
Yeah. So I picked up the Ninja Batman line. There are two lines. And they're pretty good. Like the regular ones, just like they did with the Superman movie line, you know, how they had the regular figures and then they had the ones with the play feature, the action. Mm-hmm. Well, the regular ones are like $10. Not bad. Okay. And I picked up the Joker.
Hey, that's awesome.
He looks pretty good.
Man, I'm a little surprised that
the line. Got a little bit of like a smooth criminal look going, but...
And I love that it really is just kind of cut from the anime.
Yeah, absolutely is. But it's they called Ninja Strike. Remember they had the Ninja Strike Batman line back in the day. So they're revamping the Ninja Strike line.
weird decision.
With the anime ninja figures, which is cool. So far they've done Nightwing, Robin, Batman, which I'm not a fan of those. But the Joker looks fantastic. And, you know, he's got the elbow joints. Head, the hips are ball joints, no knee and no ankle. The leg is a solid piece with the leg ball joint. And he's got the elbows and the wrist turn. But, you know, for $10, this is a fantastic figure.
What scale is he?
Six inch.
Oh, he's 6 inch. Okay. Mm-hmm. See, I was this close to buying the Ninjambis, the cool like zombie ninja line.
They're look big, really though. Neat,
but, yeah, and that's it's so weird to hear myself saying this now because 2010 me would be horrified by current me saying that toy's a little too big. because that was an impossibility for me back then.
But like, it almost has a Playmates look about him.
Yes. The detailing is really good. The colors are pretty simple, but they're smartly put together. And the designs are really cool. But they're just a little too big, but perfect for the target audience.
Yes.
And for like the slime feature and the action feature they've got going is really cool. That's a good question. I actually don't know.
They have such a Playmates feel to them. I don't think they're really Playmates, but they really do. But so the action figures of this, like the ones with the play action, are a little bit bigger, and they made the Gorilla Grodd.
I saw the Grodd.
And he would look good. Really cool. It's the perfect size to go with these.
That one, I fiddled around him a little bit. That the articulation on that Grodd was way more than I thought.
And he's like $13-14? Not bad. And I'm excited about my other Walmart purchase, because although I don't buy a lot of these figures, I have purchased select ones. Mm-hmm. And this one, as soon as I saw it, and I never pay full price for these guys, but I paid full price for this guy because he is the pride and joy of Michigan. George the Animal Steel.
Oh, wow. Is that from the WWE sort of like Masters style body line? That's awesome. Oh, yeah. I love it. With the green. Does he come with a tiny mine?
No, I wish he did. But I love the shirt. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. When you undo the shirt, look at the back hair.
Wow. They went hard. They went hard with that ink. And they're like, more paint apps. We need all the paint apps.
Yeah.
We need as many, and all the poor people responsible for that were like, why though?
The only thing that would make this better would be if he had the mine or like turnbuckle foam.
Yes, just he needs a little turnbuckle that he can bite. Oh, it's so good. That is awesome.
This is a great figure.
Do you have the Macho Man?
I do have the Macho Man. I have Macho Man Ultimate Warrior, which they just released another one with this series, another Ultimate Warrior. I have Ric Flair and Jake the Snake. I showed Jake this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah,
they need to get around.
I have Andre the Giant too.
They need to get around to releasing Miss Elizabeth and like some of the other female wrestlers. Right.
Yeah, they didn't do any of them. You think they would do
female body?
Yeah, I thought for sure they would do. They're doing all that Golden Age, so you think they would have done like Wendy Richter and Moolah and
we need a Sherry Martel, we need a Mae Young. Like, what are they waiting for?
Throw a Cyndi Lauper in there because they did Mr. T.
100%.
They did Mr. T. I have the Mr. T for that line too.
That one did come out really well, and I do like that the Masters version of him isn't really all that different from just normal.
Absolutely
Mr. T.
Not.
He's just holding a giant gold glove. Like, do you really think that Mr. T hasn't at some point walked around with a giant golden gauntlet on his
head? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I read somewhere that his collection of gold chains weighed 40 pounds.
Oh, I believe it.
So did you get anything new this week?
Boy, howdy. So let me.
Oh, I forgot to show you. You're going to like this.
Ooh,
with the Ninja Joker, he came with an old school weapon rack like the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that's super cool. Is it all one solid piece or can it pop apart?
It popped apart and it's got little pegs on it.
That is really cool.
So you can hang all of these things that he came with. It's got little bits of armor.
Is that by Spin Masters?
And a bomb. I don't know. Maybe
I forgot.
I can't remember. And all these.
I lost track of who has the Batman line. That is really awesome. I love that. I love that throwback. And them being all one color, and they all work, and they're all things that you can easily see the Joker using, including the weapon rack itself.
Right.
Which is such a nice addition.
So another Playmates throwback reference today.
take your stuff from the best. Mind that at all. I have a whole bunch of things. I have a whole bunch of stuff. To start with, again, kind of throwing back to New York Comic Con, we have us a Pythona.
Oh my gosh! Nice job. I have to get one of those.
Super cool. Well, here's the thing. This is yours. This is one for you. And I'm not going to do that thing. All right, it's time. It's been a little while, so I don't want to let people think that I don't still have rants about things. So let me say right now, I got this for you. And This does not come with the condition of, oh, this is an early birthday present, or, oh, this is an early Christmas present, because that's always irritated me for some reason. I used to know a person who would like randomly find something, and I'd come home and they'd be like, oh, here's an early birthday present. And I was like, what makes you think that absolves you of giving me a birthday present? Because you don't know when it is?
Why? You still owe me, buddy.
Yeah, you still owe me something. But like, why is that your requirement for getting me something, as opposed to, hey, you're my friend, and I know that you like this, so I got this for you. Enjoy, friend.
We buy stuff for each other all the time.
Why is there some weird, like, social... If you were not able to say that this is a Christmas gift or a birthday gift or an anniversary gift or whatever, we're just not going to get it. You're just like, listen, I don't have any real reason to buy it for him. I know he loves it. I know that's a thing that he's wanted forever. So, but I'm not going to bother, because Thanksgiving was last weekend. So why am I going to?
Right.
No, people don't do that. Buy things for your friends because they're your friends. Not out of some weird misguided contract you came up with.
Aside from maybe my younger brother, who's got a lot of years on you in regards to relationship with me, I think you and I have exchanged more things, toys for no reason than anyone.
I feel like you and I enjoy buying things for people that we like, mm-hmm. almost more so for us. Like, I love the idea of giving this to someone and them appreciating it as much as I know that I would appreciate it, or something similar. So, yeah, so enjoy. But also, man, yeah, so super duper cool. I'm so excited. And now I can't wait for them to make the rest of them. There was a reveal recently of the guards. So mm-hmm. they're definitely making the guards. And I remember there being a leak.
They're just sitting on Globulus.
I'm wondering what... I'm kind of sad that these seem destined for convention releases. Because this is New York Comic Con. Was Globulus a convention exclusive? Not Globulus.
Nemesis. No, he wasn't. I got him on Hasbro Pulse. He was a Pulse exclusive.
Okay. Was he for PulseCon? I remember. I know Serpentor was, but I don't know if Nemesis Enforcer was or not. Hopefully they'll maybe kick up that release schedule a little bit more. I'm very encouraged to see the guards, because definitely troop build those. 100%. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't wait. This is so cool. And she's never had a toy before. This is awesome.
No, so awesome.
But man, I would be on board for like just a mega scale Globulus with a swappable lower torso, or like something that opened up so you could actually see, so that you could recreate that
scene. He had that cartoon little thing. Yeah.
He had that, yeah. So you keep the tail coiled up inside the clam thing on the mm-hmm. bottom. Oh, I hope it's do like that so crab. Badly. I can't wait. So speaking of things that are Nemesis, another New York Comic Con exclusive is, see, the packaging on this is weird. It is Nemesis Prime, who I'm super duper excited for. This is the, it's a repaint of the Armada Optimus Prime. There's all kinds, he just looks great. He's amazing. The only downside to this guy is that he doesn't come with the trailer. Armada Optimus Prime comes with a trailer that also reconfigures when he goes into his super mode, so the truck becomes a torso and the trailer turns into like super pants.
Mm-hmm.
But he does not have that, so we're holding on to hope that maybe that will come out as like another different type of release.
I think
down
you
the
need
line
to call them mega britches.
Ultra britches.
He's got his mega britches on.
So on top, it's just been a lot of catching up, because we haven't had a chance to do this for a little while. But I've also the Transformers He-Man crossover.
Oh, I got that one. I have that one.
Yeah, I think you showed. I don't remember if you showed him or if you showed Man at B. Bumblebee at Arms.
No, I didn't buy him. I did Megatron.
Because there's as much as he's definitely a little bit weird, but I feel like there's a lot of repaint potential for this guy.
Yeah, I only got the Megatron one because I have to have every Skeletor.
And I gotta say, the surprise for me, super surprise. Now I did a review
super
of
surprise, not a mega surprise.
it's kind of a super surprise to me. I was not expecting to enjoy the Ninja Turtles Godzilla crossover.
Saw those at Target the other day, and I had all three of them in my hand, and then I put them back down.
Yeah, like, I definitely get it. I get the resistance, the, because when they first showed them at San Diego, it just seemed that it was like out of nowhere, and you're like, wait, what? That's so strange. What a weird, why? But also, why not? And this is also might just be the most
natural thing ever. And I don't know why they're only like $15 a pop.
Yeah, they're not very expensive, and they're very much, I think they said they're designed to resemble the Hanna-Barbera style of Godzilla.
Which is so, why the Godzilla looks like Dinosaur Neil.
Yes. with the giant nostrils, whatever. But I gotta tell you, I reviewed Mikey Ghidorah, which is a very weird, like, why? It's a very weird decision. He's great. Like, a lot of fun. Like, way more fun than I expected to have with these figures. And it helped that, like, after getting him out of the package and messing around with it, they fixed a lot of the issues that I was kind of expecting there to be, like the arm joints. There's like an actual ankle tilt, the detail, because it's Playmates who've always been really good with their detailing. Detailing is really good. I'm just really impressed. So these guys are actually going to be reviewed soon. So keep your eyes peeled for that. That will be happening. And it, last but not least, because he's actually been sitting around for a little while, Wave 2.
I saw them at Walmart.
I'm jealous of you and your decent Walmarts. But I love that he's like in the passenger seat on his own crossover. It's funny to me for some reason.
Series 2 He-Man finally shows up.
And I'm not excited for him at all. He looks neat. He's just nothing wrong with him. It's just
he looks a lot like the 2000X that I saw.
Yeah, the Eternian armor is pretty neat, but I'm probably not going to review him. unless you would like to see him review, and if so, say something in the comments. I'll be like, don't do that. Please, no. Goodness my. Since speaking of reviews and toys and hello and...
Wait, we speak about toys on this toys.
And every now and then, on occasion, we like to talk about some toys. And I know it's been a little bit, so... Given the state of
boys, things, nice
boys, good. Georgie Animal Steel would agree. Well, you know what? Actually, I don't know if he would agree. He might be kind of down on us for doing what we do. But I had a topic in mind, and then at the last minute, I just wanted to toss it and talk about why we're still collecting toys, with the emphasis on still. And I don't want to frame that.
Because you're my only friend.
Who else do I have to talk to about these things? You actually don't have any interest in toys. You just wanted to talk to me. You're like, look, the only way I can get him to interact in some way, shape, or form is if I bring up toys. So this whole thing's a ruse.
I went and bought 10,000 toys. You know what? I got to say, though, I really do miss my collection that's still in storage up in New York.
Oh, it's a sad thing. I feel like one of the best, kind of the whole point of collecting. Yeah, we see it behind you and we see it behind me. You'd see more if I was not in like mid-transition right
Kubrick
now.
Kubrick film, yeah.
Yeah, but... having these out, enjoying them, picking up new stuff. Like I know that, again, like the kind of the state of things and us being kind of like where we're at in life. People ask the question, and I see other toy collectors and people that I know kind of wondering aloud, "Why am I still doing this? What's the what's my end game?" Or yeah, I feel like people kind of start to maybe doubt themselves, and they say, "Well, why am I doing this? What's my?" We hear the jokes about who am I leaving this to? My offspring are going to inherit a 2-ton block of plastic. You hear that kind of stuff, but in the here and now, with what we do, we've had one of the best conversations that I've had all week, and I don't know if that's. Yeah, you could say that's bad. You could say that's good. I think it's good. So when I ask, why are we still collecting? One of the reasons for me is this right here. I love this. You know, we joke about it, and certainly there's definitely lines that we do and don't like. There's stuff that's going on that we may enjoy or not enjoy. But I feel like at the end of the day, this is something that brings me joy.
100%. 100%. Sorry. Get choked up. getting misty. You know what? When I have I don't have the space that I used to, and like we just mentioned, loyal listeners, my vast collection is still in storage because I recently moved. But you know, you move, I don't have volleyball anymore. We don't have our lunch anymore. You know, mm-hmm. we don't go toy collecting together anymore. So, mm-hmm. you know, there are those days where, you know, I feel a little bit pooky, you know, and so I go get a toy. And sometimes, I mean, the Joker came about because I was like, let me go see if there's something new because I really need to pick me up today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was $10 and just brought me joy. I took mm-hmm. him home. Like, I hung around with him, took some pictures, tried to find, you know, where on the shelf with mm-hmm. this new. And you'll be proud now because I don't have the vast collection. So you mm-hmm. know how rigid I was about these are the X-Men Toy Biz figures. These are the Spider-Man Toy Biz figures. Like, everything had their shelf, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have a vast collection with me. So everyone is sort of, you can see the shelf over there, you'd be really proud because it's got Voltron. It's got the Super Friends 6-inch figures on it. And a
Pops figure. Out on me. Yeah. I need to see pictures of this. Send me pictures.
And then one has a bunch of like the 112 Batman figures like in the box, but it's got Venom and some of the Superman movie figures and Hawkman mm-hmm. and that boxing kangaroo that you got me all on one shelf.
That's awesome.
So it's
I am very proud of you. That is awesome.
Yeah. And I've got in front of the desk here where you can't see, I bought these little shelves. I think I showed you on camera one time. I found them. They're spice racks, but they're like riser shelves.
Yes.
And it looks like a choir of mishmash. It's got... There's Iron Giant and the G.I. Joe Classifieds and mm-hmm. and Battle Cat Man all on these risers. It looks like a choir. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I came down here without any of it. Well, I did have some of the toys. And mm-hmm. I recently got my box of Plunderlings and stuff down, which are still in their box. I haven't put them out yet. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really have anything on display. So the 20 or 30 or so figures that you see around are the ones that I've gotten since I've got here. And it's because I couldn't, it's not that I can't find joy without them, but mm-hmm. my home didn't feel like a home without toys about. And you know, it's funny. Mm-hmm. I was just reading, waiting for you to get online. I was just scrolling through nonsensical stuff online. Mm-hmm. And one was like an article about like red flags that women notice when they first go to a man's house.
Oh, my God. Written by some dude who doesn't date.
Right. Well, one woman allegedly said his hallway was lined with shelves of opened and unopened toys, and he had a dinosaur print comforter on his bed. And I was like, wait, was this woman ever at my house?
You're like, no, like, what gets me going are piles of beer bottles. That's what really gets me going. That's what I prefer. Yeah.
But you know, to the point,
an ammo. That's what I really want in a man.
but to your point, like when I had the whole museum set up with thousands and thousands of figures in the basement, when people would walk by, they would think it was. There was no in the middle. They thought it was the coolest thing they'd ever seen or the saddest thing they'd ever seen, right? But both are funny. Both are funny.
And I feel like the latter of the two, like you have the people who have the correct response, which is that's awesome. Because it is awesome. I just want to say your basement is what I feel like a lot of collectors should aspire to. Like, that was an inspirational wall to wall sets of display. And then when you started adding the lighting to it, just, you know, they took it to the next level. The ones who, yeah, like, who come in and make that snap judgment, who, like, it makes me wonder what they have going on in their life. It makes me wonder, in the opposite direction, are you sad? Like, but like, are you sad for yourself? Because where are you at in your life that the only thing that you have going on is looking at what other people are doing and saying, that's sad and stupid. Like, it's such an easy thing to do for people who don't do what we do, or who don't find joy in the things that we do. But then you have to wonder, it's like, okay, well, their idea of enjoyment is maybe sitting on the couch and watching sports. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, like, you could flip that into being, you know, I guess in like the quote unquote opposite world, or if it was a Black Mirror episode, those are the losers. Like, oh, well, what do you do?
I almost always feel like I'm in a Black Mirror episode.
We live in the Black Mirror timeline right now.
Yeah. but here's the thing, like, that people don't understand, like, excuse me. You know, I joke that it's my life's work, my toy collection, right? Mm-hmm. But the toys that are in there, in that collection, are ones that I had when I was a kid, mm-hmm. right? Like, the Superpowers figures that I had on display weren't ones I collected later on in life. A couple of them were, but for the most part, those are the ones I played with. And I remember the Christmas in 1984 when I got the Hall of Justice, and I got that Batmobile, and I got the Lexor 7, and I got all that stuff. And the same year, the Secret Wars came out, and my brother got the Tower of Doom and Wolverine, and we didn't know who Wolverine was at the time. Like, I remember those. And I remember when I look at the first Marvel Legends Toad, like, that was the first Marvel Legends I ever got. It was at a KB Toys and Hobby. Dale was with me. Like, I remember that. I remember the ones that were gifts to me. I remember when I go through that collection, I'm not seeing, oh, this is the NECA 1/4 scale Batman. You know, I remember who got that for me and why they got that for me. Like, I remember it's not only my life's work in regard to the collection and curating it, it's my life's work viewing the things that the people I love got me, and I love them, and I love them more because those people got them for me.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up having the memories of when you got, like, a very specific figure, and who you got it to, because that the nostalgia is very much a thing, and I know that it's kind of been weaponized by toy companies that have caught on. I mean, in kind of the best ways. It's like, well, I know that you love cherry pies, so I'm gonna fire cherry pies at you with a catapult. And you're like,
oh, I thought you were talking about the Warren song.
No, it's totally different. but you're right. Like, I love that nostalgia is in fact a thing, because it's what we grew up on. It's when we were in our formative years, and that was kind of like what kind of helped mold us into the people we are. And I like that we both enjoy things that we had from way back when that we can still get a hold of now. But I also enjoy, I'm going to do a quick unboxing right here, because I think I know what this is.
In the middle of the show? This is totally in the middle of the show.
I'm hoping this is what I think it is. Because I just want
to pretend it is.
Hopefully this will help me make the point that I was hoping to make. Is it
a rabbit? Are you going
to
pull a rabbit out of your hat?
That is not the thing that I thought it was. I'm going to try again.
Try door number two.
Yeah, try door number two. But the whole thing with nostalgia and, you know, having those memories of way back when, it's super cool, and it really does help you be who you are, enjoy what you enjoy, and then if you can find it again and get that enjoyment again, that is awesome. But it also helps that with companies, and you can say they're a lot of them are, you know, soulless, greedy executives, whatever, and sure, that's a thing. But I just recently got the Cobra Desert Scorpion with his big old scorpion,
which I just saw in Walmart.
I'm so jealous of you for living in an area where your Walmart acquires trucks, and then those trucks are toys that are supposed to be put on the shelf and able to be bought by people who want them, as opposed to me, who just walks through and just records a whole aisle of sadness. But we have current things. Like this, I didn't remember until this toy was revealed, but I had this figure as a kid. I know I always say that I got...
It was later on in the series.
Yeah, you are leaps and bounds ahead of me and G.I. Joe. You know more about the lore and the toy line, whatever, and you were deeply into it, and I was not. Whatever I had was really just random. But I do remember, and I don't remember if I bought him for myself or not, but I remember seeing this guy, the original, and I had him. I don't remember if he came in like a collection that I got or not, but seeing the updated version of him, this is one of the reasons that I still collect. In addition to the nostalgia I have for the original version of this, which was super neat and really cool and a lot of fun, I love seeing what comes next. I love seeing, I like that there is a set number of companies who look at the things that you and I remember enjoying, and and thousands of us out there remember enjoying. And I kind of don't care that they're soulless ghouls who just want to profit off of it, because I'm getting what I enjoy. Like, this is really cool to me. And see, it helps to know that a lot of people who work on these lines, I know that Hasbro recently let go of a lot of people, and that sucks. But there's a lot of people who still work for Hasbro, work for Mattel, work for Mondo, work for the like Boss Fight Studios, Four Horsemen, who are super fans, and they're our age, and they came up with this stuff, and like this is another one of the reasons why I still collect, knowing that as a starstruck kid who came up with He-Man and G.I. Joe and Transformers, that these lines are still going and they're still cranking out some really cool stuff. And now we're getting into the point where, again, like the Nemesis Prime, the Armada Nemesis Prime, this came out in 2002. And that's a whole generation of kids who maybe they're not going to be like the nostalgia fiends that we are, but this is their nostalgia. Right. So it's interesting to me that us being in the generation that we're in, knowing that there's a generation behind us, I know that the joke is that kind of Gen X-ish are going to die, and then all toy collecting goes away. And that's not true. It's just going to change a little bit. It's just maybe instead of just getting Generation 1 Optimus Prime all the time, maybe now you start getting more Armada-style figures and toys, because those will be the people in the industry making those decisions.
It'll be different. Like, I love hearing, Jared and I would spend a lot of time toy collecting together, and he has that bug. Now he's away at school and he's got other priorities, but I have no doubt that this is something that he'll, be involved with for a long time. But it's interesting now to see people younger than us, like what they're collecting, a lot of plushes, the squishies and the Pokemon plushes and the cards. And so, 20 years from now, it'll be the re-release of, some Digimon or Pokemon or something like that, where they're going crazy like we are. I want to define my nostalgia a little bit. It's not just nostalgia like, oh, I grew up with the Thundercats or I grew up with. It's really the feeling that I had. Now, loyal listeners, and Tom, you've heard the story about the basement. Like, I don't know why basements have always been so important to my toys, but my childhood basement, we kind of had free reign to design it however we wanted, dependent upon whatever universe we were playing in at the time. And if we've got high school friends listening to this, I don't know, but my brothers and I would play with the action figures way later than most. We were into our teens, and a couple of times a week, when if we were all home, we would go down to the basement, and it was mostly, at that point, not crash, boom, banging them, but coming up with creative storylines to connect all these different universes that we had.
Yes.
Dick Tracy and Batman and Skeletor, and this, like, figuring out how, so we had to come up with a way to make them combine into one universe, right? And we did that for years and years and years from the time we were young. And I think we kept doing it because it was the only time, like, we came together. Like, the three of us, my two brothers, Derek, Dale, and I had three different worlds that we lived in high school. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I was off doing my thing. Dale was off doing his thing. Derek was off doing his thing. And the only time we came together was down there in the basement. And Derek didn't mm-hmm. come down as often as Dale and I were down there. But when he did, it was cool because it was mm-hmm. the only time that the three of us agreed on what we were doing and when we were doing it and the storylines. Mm-hmm. And it was a well written script, you know, and that's what I remember. So when I see the Desert Scorpion, I'm not remembering the toy and I'm not remembering his brief appearance in the cartoon and, mm-hmm. and other things that came out at that time. I'm remembering that that's one of the figures that Dale had when we mm-hmm. were playing in our G.I. Joe phase. And yeah. even though he was a trooper kind of guy, Dale gave him a personality. So he wasn't a trooper. He was a dude. Like he was yeah. one of the characters and like, and that's what I remember. And I remember mm-hmm. like Dial Tone just came out in the Classified series. So when mm-hmm. I went to go, when I went to go pick up Dial Tone, I wasn't picking up because I remember the character. I remember a very specific moment playing when we were a little bit, you know, it sometimes got dramatic. Like we would, mm-hmm. like I said, shoot rubber bands, right? And Dial Tone had been hit in the head with a rubber mm-hmm. band. So Dial Tone was shot in the head and he was in the medical ward. And so we were talking about like, and I had, Lifeline, who also just mm-hmm. Was just announced from the Classified series. So I had Lifeline, Dale had Doc, and they were talking about Dial Tone and that he would probably have brain damage after he got out of his coma, right? Mm-hmm. And then when he came out, Dale made him sound almost like Patrick from SpongeBob. Oh, you know, he was we were kids, right? You know, so I don't want to sound like I'm being a jerk to people with brain damage. We were kids, right? You know, Dale made him sound not the SpongeBob wasn't even a thing, but he sounded like Patrick
someone who had taken a shot to the head.
And I remember just laughing like, no, that's not what we meant. But and then I you know, when I see Splinter figures, Shredder, I don't remember, like, I don't feel nostalgic because of Shredder and the cartoon mm-hmm. and the toy. I remember seeing him without his tunic on for the first time. And and that was a character, like Derek, I said, played with. He introduced us to the Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. And then Dale and I were laughing so hard when we went downstairs and there was Shredder without his tunic. And just we busted a gut laughing at the horrible, like, scoliosis. Skull.
Just looks so emaciated. Yeah.
And Derek heard us from upstairs and yelled downstairs, "You saw Shredder, didn't you?" Yeah. And like,
don't look at him.
He knew exactly what it is. So that's the nostalgia, is that feeling from mm-hmm. playing with those toys. And when we moved to North Carolina, I remember, like, on our trip to North Carolina, I found the Chuck Norris figure and Dale found the M-Force figures and we were playing with those figures on a rock outside mm-hmm. the hotel room that we were staying in when we were traveling mm-hmm. and the Rambo figures, the Remco mm-hmm. Rambo figures. And like, that's the nostalgia. It's not the character. It's how those toys brought us together and how that felt. Those are the characters I really want. When I see mm-hmm. Toxic Crusaders and those figures that I know, like, oh, Dale's really going to go crazy for that figure because I remember him playing with the Toxic Crusaders. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's the kind of thing. And when I see the Universal Monsters, like, I remember, I've talked about Derek bringing those Remco 4-inch Universal Monsters into our G.I. Joe play. And then, you know, when I see those things, I'm like, man, Derek's going to go nuts for that. So only because I'm projecting how I felt when I was a kid onto mm-hmm. them, like, oh, Derek's going to feel the same way I felt when I saw Gung-Ho in the Classified series. So when Derek sees this Invisible Man figure, he's going to feel that same way, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the nostalgia I feel for those, and that's why I keep buying the same characters over and over again.
So I have I have two questions for you. You ever consider quitting? I know you said we're both still collecting, but you ever consider throwing in the towel? And I ask that because I know that for a lot of collectors, you hit patches in your life where things are rough for insert whatever reason, changing your job, changing location. Money's tight. You're going through whatever, emotional stuff or whatever. I'm sure in the back of a lot of people's heads, you hear the thoughts of, and you mentioned them earlier, those people who say to you or who don't understand or who don't get why we do what we do. You should just get rid of those. Or, well, you'd right. be better off if you weren't spending money on toys. Or, my favorite, how much these are worth if you just sold them.
Right.
And I know that there's got to be that temptation. And I know some people have actually gotten out because I've seen posts by people who are like, I sold my collection. But then almost inevitably, there's something that comes later where they say, and I got it back. The first time I sold my collection, meaning that they came back to it and they rebuilt.
Right.
And I know that there's a temptation there to think that, well, maybe my life will change. I think I haven't seen 40-year-old Virgin, but I remember hearing that the end is essentially him selling it and saying, oh, my life's better because I got rid of
these things. Because of peer pressure.
Yes. Which I think is stupid. Yeah. So I'll never watch that film. But
right. I have recently when I moved not to go into too much detail or be melodramatic, but this is a tough patch that I'm going through, the relocation and all the things that go with that. Right. And I don't have the space. So I took some of the things that have more recent sentimental value to me, like the Lego Voltron that Jared and I bought and put together, the Lego stuff that the kids have purchased for me and stuff like that. But I don't have the room, and I know everything's sitting in storage. So when I moved down here, I was like, I guess I'm done buying because I don't have anywhere to put them. I don't have I'm restarting, so my financial situation's a little bit different. But you know what? When it came down to finding joy, like I said before, I don't have volleyball. When it came down to being down here and having to find joy, the first thing I turned to was buying toys.
Yeah. And I think that's an important point to make, because I think that people misunderstand why we get joy out of what we do,
right,
or the things that we buy, because it's something that I can't imagine buying a spool of yarn and being excited for that. But I know that there are people who do, and I understand that they are probably. This is true. You don't want to do puce. You want to get more of an olive green. But knowing that they're probably going to go and take that and do either knit or do whatever it is that they do to make something that brings them joy, or just having it, knowing that this is what I like to do. They take it and they just put it in a basket and they're happy to have it. The end. Right. I think that's awesome because different things bring people joy for different reasons.
Right. Even George Steele, this is something that brought me joy because we used to give my dad crap because George the Animal Steele was from Michigan, and so was my dad.
It's like, do you all look like this? All your tongues green? He's like, yes.
Well, with the water in Flint, where my dad grew up, they made
it. Oh, no. They're still waiting for that clean water. So question number two, do you have, I guess, kind of sideways nostalgia? And by that, I mean, I have a box full of Skylanders. And I love Skylanders, and I love playing the games. It's very fun. I highly recommend it to anyone who is into the whole Toys for Life kind of thing. And that was an interesting period of time.
Right.
But why I really like them is because it reminds me of the time that I spent with my nephews playing those and doing like the custom paint jobs for them. Waking up at 5 a.m, going to Toys R Us and sitting and waiting for Ninjini to come out so that my sister and I could buy them for my nephews. But even now, like if I see a Skylander, or I'll still randomly check and see if there are kind of like I think there were Skylanders that were made for like company parties, which is weird. Like there's like flocked versions of certain characters, whatever. And I still kind of keep an eye on those on eBay just because. But the collecting of that contributes to fond memories of,
Absolutely.
yeah, like hanging out
Yeah,
with the nephews and playing the games.
I have a box of Skylanders that I should say I have a box of Jared's Skylanders that I know he's not, doesn't have any interest in them, but so many times I've had that box in my hand to just get rid of, and I can't do it. I can't do it because those are Jared Skylanders. You know what I mean? So I'm holding them, and I'll say I'm holding them for his sake, but I'm not. I'm holding on to them because we would do our Wednesday trip to or our Thursday trip to Toys R Us and Walmart, and that Skylander aisle. There was a whole aisle of Skylanders. And then we would go check him out, and all the time. And then he'd get excited because the big ones came out, and then the ones where that had the magnet where you could split them, and he got excited about that. And so that's why we went. Like I was looking for Marvel Legends at the time, and he was looking for the Skylander stuff, and we were that was our trip. And then we'd share a pack of peanut butter cups. So yeah, that sort of. I'm feeling nostalgia, by proxy for somebody else. Yeah, I do.
I just want to, you see the stuff that's coming out now, and I think that's one of the other reasons why I'm just never going to stop collecting unless something horrendous happens and I'm physically no longer able to do it. But part of it is because we have things like New York Comic Con. We have San Diego Comic Con, and I know that we just touched on it briefly a little bit before. There's always that moment where you're like, oh, I think I'm just done. But then something weird comes out, and I love the weird stuff, and it pulls me right back in because when will we see something like this ever again? When will we see Skeletor wearing Megatron armor? It's like I could set all of this aside, and you could, like, it's up to you. And I just want to put a PSA out there real quick. If you're trying to decide between rent and toys, please choose rent. Please choose food.
Not the
No one
musical,
should.
not the musical.
Yes. Oh my God. Get something good. I'm sorry. I know there are people who love rent, but
It's just a retelling of Lava Wham. Just go see Lava Wham.
it is not for me. Not anymore. But yeah, I think that seeing some of the stuff that comes out, again, it's just every time that it crosses my mind to kind of throw in the towel, and it doesn't happen often. I'm not constantly waffling whether or not I should or should not be collecting. It's what will my budget be for this? Okay, what's my toy budget going to be? And then when things maybe get a little bit tough, you start, in the back of your head, you start to think maybe, oh, maybe, it's all just sitting in a storage unit anyway. What good is it doing me? Perhaps I should just sell it all. Because right now, especially when you're going through times of transition like this, or if you've got different things going on in your life, like right now, I'm in the middle of a potential move, so I have practically nothing in the apartment. And being so sparse, it's weird to not have, because like you said, the collection is kind of the thing, the display is kind of the thing, like having all of this cool stuff that you can pick up and fiddle with it and just kind of admire what it is. And whether it be for nostalgia's sake, whether it be to just admire the craftsmanship of it, or if you're one of those lucky people who gets to push through and make your own line, which is still a dream that I have. Look at your work and be like, or to see something you're inspired by, to say one day I would love to do this. I sit in my apartment that has practically nothing. Like these are all going to storage. The things that I'm showing you right now, I'll probably review them and put them into storage until I move to the new place, and then we'll hopefully have a larger display there. But in the meantime, like it's weird looking around and seeing nothing. And it makes me wonder, man, how do other people do this? How do you right. function without a toy collection to like mess around with? How, what's wrong muggles. With you people? Yeah, it's very. It's just it's we're our thought process on this kind of stuff is different. But like it's amazing it's to me to see. They absolutely would classify it as that. And then want to feed us all kinds of meds. And like, no, that'll conflict with my
heart. I'm going to change this display for next week. There you go.
Oh, I look forward to it. I want to see what else you got going on there. I want to see all the
because I've turned into stuff. Tom. I have a pile of toys unopened, and it's hurting my heart, and I have to find space. Yeah, no. So I bought some of those cube shelves. You can't like see this white cabinet behind me. Mm-hmm. I've got other white cabinets over there, and there's a tall one with glass that's got the Batmobiles in it, mm-hmm. but next to it's a shorter one. So I bought some of those white cube shelves, mm-hmm. you know, to go on top of that. So I have some more shelf space. So I'll open those toys.
And I think, and that right there is another reason why I'm still in. Aside from my own personal enjoyment, I look forward to seeing what other people are doing, like more specifically, like what you're doing. Like, I love seeing what you have on display and like what you have that's new. And then I'm looking forward to seeing what you do next week when you have something else up there. I like seeing what other people who have the same interests as me do. And that is kind of why the convention scene is still such a kind of a struggle for me. It's always kind of a last minute decision, like to go to New York Comic Con. I don't want to be around all those people. I just don't.
Right. It gets crazy. Well, you and I do a good job of getting in really early, mm-hmm. and then by like 1 o'clock, we're ready to head out.
Yes. It's too crazy. Yeah. When I went this year, I went on a Thursday because the Sunday was sold out, which was weird to me. But I went on Thursday because I was like, well, it's opening day, so it shouldn't be that insane. Right. And it was almost the same experience as when we went on Sunday. They did a really good job of getting people in. I got to wander around. The floor was not super duper crowded, but like once you're in there, I sort of like all my anxiety about, you know, being around all these people and I can't stand them. I don't want to be around people. But once you're there and you're looking at the displays and the exhibits and like new upcoming stuff and seeing the Hasbro display and also seeing the people that you're used to seeing on like the Hasbro Pulse shows. Mm-hmm. They're there. People that worked on like the G.I. Joe line, the people that worked on the Transformers line were there in person to go up and talk to. Please talk to these people nicely. I understand that conventions by their nature is a collection of the socially awkward and less polished than we'll say. Please be nice to these people. But it's really cool to be there and in person and looking at this stuff. And if I wasn't in it anymore, that would be gone. Mm-hmm. And I know plenty of people move on and do other things. Like, we hear a lot of times that, you know, you collect until you're in like your teens, and then people talk about, you know, well, I was out of it for a while, and then they come back and they start collecting again after they've gone out and done X, Y, Z.
Right. I've never been out of it, which is why I am burdened with 10 or 12,000 action figures sitting in storage.
See, you made the smart choice because you didn't have to go back and recollect, which is what I feel bad for people who, there's so many people who have that story of, I left home and my parents threw all my toys away. Right. A lot of them
I got at yard sales, so thank you to their mom and dad.
Yes, 100%. Thank you for throwing your kids' toys away because they became mine.
The G.I. Joe find was the biggest.
Man. That is retell that real quick. For people who haven't heard that, because I don't remember what episode you told
me. I don't remember either, but I was here in Carolina before I moved up to New York, and of course got the call. Hey, I'm at a yard sale that it was doing, and there's a box of G.I. Joe stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, what's in it? She said, the G.I. Joe headquarters with the box and a hovercraft. Well, I'm like, just send me the picture. And then it had the Dragonfly helicopter, the hovercraft, the full headquarters with the box. I think there was the amphibious personnel carrier and like a couple of fang copters in a box. And I said, yeah, you can find out how much you're going to ask, but it's going to be at least a couple of $100. Mm-hmm. And then I'm on the phone and she's like, oh, it's so, she said she'd sell it for $25. And I think,
man,
I think it was like that scene in Wrath of Khan when he was like, Khan, and then it gets fun. I was like, buy it!
Buy!
Buy it and run!
Show her the money! Say nothing! That is awesome. I love that. And that's another one of like those kinds of experiences, and like those are the things that keep me in. Like I love that deal. You never know whether or not you're gonna see something decent. Like there's a Ross that opened up new the area near me in New York. Finally got a. I know that it's not the only Ross on Long Island, where? But it is. It's actually not that far from the storage unit. It's right in that Burlington Coat Factory shopping center. Across the street from the Taco Bell.
Oh, you know.
It's, yeah, they tacked it right on. It opened up, and the anticipation of going in, because Ross is the new like TJ Maxx, Marshalls, like they mm-hmm. those guys were getting a lot of stuff. Now everything is going straight to Ross, including the Selects Trypticon. Like every day, I see some new post of all these crazy things that people are finding at Ross. So now there's one near me. I went opening weekend with my nephews. I dragged them there with me, and there was nothing of note. And then the following, like a couple of days later, I go there and there's the snake shredder from the Ninja Turtles He-Man crossover. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of days later, there's new Eternia stuff. So you really never know. But I love that. Now, granted, mm-hmm. you and I differ on the thrill of the hunt. I do hate hunting, but I do kind of like, you know, because it's nothing that I feel like I need. So Ross is like a pleasant surprise. Like, am I going to be pleasantly surprised by what I see on the shelf? I certainly hope so, because there's all kinds of like neat stuff. There's the Doctor Strange Wong 2-pack that comes with the ghost dog. Mm-hmm. Found that there.
You know.
Crazy. Crazy. Mm. And I love that kind of stuff. And it's just another one of the many reasons why I still collect, and I don't ever see myself stopping, because that's the kind of thing that to put my importance into perspective, when I bought my first car, like wasn't given to me. I went out to a dealership and didn't care until I got a car. It was a Ford Fiesta, fun car.
Of course, it was fun. It was Fiesta.
Yeah, it's in the name. I drove it to Toys R Us, found some stuff, came home, went inside, was fine. My parents had no idea I bought this car for weeks, and they were like, "You have a new car?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah," but also,
is that I got the red this. One? No, that was a rental.
That was the Kia Soul that Mike right. had such a field day with. But no, it was the Fiesta was white, much to my chagrin. But you know, it had four wheels and it ran. That was all that I want from a car. And my parents were like, I think they were thinking I was going to get the car, drive to their house, get out and like do the dance. And I could not have cared less. And I couldn't understand why they couldn't understand why I didn't care. But you know what they did know about from the second that I got it? My 2-foot by 4-foot giant final premium Godzilla, because I was so excited to get it and I was so proud of it. And I took the pictures and I was like, look what I got. Also, I have a steady job now, but look what I got. And they're like, why in the world are you more excited for the giant Godzilla? And I was like, you've known me all my life. I can't believe you're asking me this question. It's just,
you're like, yeah, I don't understand the question. I don't know how to process that.
I don't get it. I'm your son. You know me. Mm-hmm. for better or worse, I'm your son. These are my priorities. I'm, you know, the car, not so much. Yeah, I got it. What of it? Want to fight about it? But the giant Godzilla, that is important. that is important to me. But that's where I'm at. And I feel like a lot of collectors, that brings them, our joy is maybe a little different from the joy that other people have. And I'll never stop, barring some horrendous thing that's going on that I cannot avoid, and the only solution is for me to cease and desist all collecting activities. I'm not going to stop doing this.
Right. Yeah. Just like I'll never be able to retire because of my toy habit, but that's okay.
100%.
You go hand in hand.
Now, granted, if it makes you feel any better, it has nothing to do with your toy collecting, and more the fact that the generations before us sold us a false bill of goods, and now we're paying the financial repercussions of that. But that aside,
and they ruined the planet.
And on top of it all. But at least we know that the planet will be just fine. Eventually, it'll burn us out. I'm still waiting for the giant monsters to appear. And they will. And when they do, I hope they make giant toys of them.
Yeah, they will. They will. I do have to start wrapping this up because 4 o'clock comes really early.
It sure does. So let's wrap this up with a question. So let's say you're being forced to stop collecting for insert whatever terrible storyline reason, and the only way that you can continue collecting is to come up with a toy line that you want. Lord. You gotta pitch it. You gotta sell it. What's your toy line? What you got going on?
That's a tough one to answer on the fly, and I don't even know, that's not even relevant to what we were talking about, man. Cheater.
It totally is.
Cheater. Cheater.
You gotta give it something, or you're just not able to collect ever again. It's all riding on this.
Oh, I gotta come up with a storyline and everything.
I guess you don't have to get too much into the details. Like, you don't have to go full Jason the Wheeled Warriors on it. But
I'm sure they'd come up with something better than that.
I mean, those guys got away with it, and they didn't even have action figures of the main characters.
Right. It's so hard because I feel like anything I come up with is going to be so derivative on the fly.
Hey, man, that's the world we live in now. Everything is derivative. No one wants to take a chance on anything, unless it's A24. Unless A24 starts like a toy company, then yeah, we'll get some weird independent stuff.
You know what? I'm going to go with the current trend. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to cheat this time. I'm going to go with the current trend of crossovers, right? So my line of toys is going to be the celebration of the elementals that we got with the Warriors of Virtue movie and toy line.
Hey!
Combined with the celebration of the planet with the Captain Planet toy line. So I'm going to do a crossover of the Warriors of Virtue and Captain Planet.
Oh, that's a good play. I like that. Now, are there five specially chosen people whose powers allow them to call forth a single superpowered being?
With our powers combined.
And is he a giant superpowered earth, wind, and fire using kangaroo?
Yes, of course he will be. And he will have the whole band, Earth, Wind, and Fire,
they will playing play trumpets
and trombones behind him.
All his attacks come out of his pouch.
That's right.
It'll be amazing. I'm on board for this.
And the little kid that's like, and heart, because they ran out of elements for him.
I want there to be a relaunched version of Captain Planet, and I need there to be an episode.
I think Zeke is good.
I kind of hope that happens, and I want there to be an episode that is just like the Mechanek episode in the 2000X He-Man series where he's sad because he's lame, and they have to convince him, no, man, you're not lame.
You're not lame. Look at your cool haircut.
And then towards Tom the Cruise end, they're voice like, you. Yeah, and then at the end of the episode, they're like, look, it's all great because you got heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the end. Fade to black. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're up, and you're gonna. I've already cheated, so now you're not allowed to cheat.
I'm gonna have to.
You've already made up toy lines. You've already made up toy lines.
Yeah, I'm not sure if what I'm about to say is counts as cheating or not, because it's already kind of like
coming.
So I'm gonna pitch. I am gonna pitch a comic slash toy line that I've already come up with called Brave the Fortress, which was all about a insect horde that appears and starts terrorizing three separate kingdoms. One is populated by dogs, another one is populated by birds, another one is populated by big cats, and they all show up. It's called the Insectus Army, and they are led by Queen Decima, and she sent out these hordes to all in one fell swoop wipe out these kingdoms. So they get blitz attacked right away, and I already came up with size classes. I already came up with the interchangeable parts for different characters, and they attack all these places, and they're starting to fall, and they don't have enough time to really communicate with one another. But in the kingdom full of big cats, they discover a secret underground hideaway that contains these creatures who are locked in giant crystals, and when the Insectus Horde attacks, they break free and display incredible powers that they use to fight off the insect horde. No one knows who they are, where they came from, why they have powers, whether or not they're there to destroy the horde or to destroy them. And that's your quick kickoff line for Brave the Fortress.
And that's when Captain Planet Roo shows up.
I love Captain Planet Roo.
Or Kanga Planet.
That'll be his evil counterpart that he has to fight in the finale.
Yeah.
I'm on board for this. So, all right, I guess with that, we'll wrap up this episode, which I have thoroughly enjoyed, and I hope that our listeners and watchers have thoroughly enjoyed. Let us know in the comments if you have a toy line that you would come up with, that you would pitch to save your own toy collecting abilities. Let us know why you still collect, because I'm very curious about people in the toy community who, you know, either whether they go through things or they just have a personal epiphany about XYZ, and they say it's time to hang it up, because a lot of times I feel like they come back. I feel like a lot of people that call it quits, they come back to collecting, and
it's like with, a high school without girlfriend. Regrets.
Yeah, just when you think you're out, they drag you back in. For better or worse. So I hope you have enjoyed the show, and if you have, let us know. Follow us on Blue Sky. Our handle is Two Guys Talking Toys. That is the number two. No G after the talking. Get a hold of us on Instagram. Our handle is 2G Talking Toys. Let me know what you think of me wandering through Target and Walmart and all these other toy places looking at their sad shelves. Just sad. Target, not so much lately, but yeah, generally, just some sad stuff. So until next time, watch the show, subscribe, like, tell your buddies, tell your friends. I hope you enjoy the toy reviews. And until then, take care, everybody.